ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Going to be an initiation ceremony. I'll say a few words about the meaning of accepting a guru. One should accept a guru. What for? For what purpose? Why should one have a guru? Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchet. Tad vijnanartham. For the sake of getting that knowledge. Which knowledge? The knowledge of that which is beyond this world of suffering, of birth and death. To find out that knowledge, one has to go to a guru. To get knowledge of how to be an engineer, one can stay in Kanchi. There are engineering colleges here. But actually, this is a place of gurus. This is traditionally a place of gurus who give knowledge beyond the engineering of this world. Ramanuja, the greatest guru of the modern world, at least in the he was the first Vaishnava guru. If we say he's the greatest, that's not a contradiction, because we can say all the great gurus, they're all the greatest. We can't say that they're any less than any of the others. So he himself took guidance from his guru Kanchipurnam here, and he met for the first time Yamuna Acharya. He's another of his gurus here, Mahapurna, in the line of Ramanuja. Vedanta Deshika was also born and lived here. So this is a place of gurus. Guru we should approach not for any material purpose. But when we understand that there's nothing in this material world that is worth aspiring for, whatever we may aspire for, even if we get it, it will simply result in suffering. We're all, as long as we don't approach a guru, then we're all pashugna. That word was quoted yesterday. Killers of the soul, atmaha. So for atmagyan, tadvijnanartham, atmagyan, knowledge of this, of who we are, this who we actually are, how we can come out of this miserable condition of suffering, we must approach a guru. There's no other way. For knowledge of the absolute truth. Samitpani Shrotriyang Brahmanishtam. Samitpani means we should bring firewood suitable for use in sacrifices, yajnas. Because traditionally, guru means Brahmana who will be performing yajnas regularly at home. Traditionally, we can understand from this that this is concerning approaching a grihastha guru, because the sannyasi is niragni, that is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sannyasi, or at least conventionally a sannyasi, is niragni. He doesn't cook, doesn't offer sacrifices. But one should approach the guru who is a grihastha, who maintains the sacrificial fire, bringing firewood. In other words, in a spirit of service. It's not just take from the Guru. There's lena and dana, adan pradan. It's an exchange. Guru-disciple relationship means exchange. Giving and taking. But it's not a commercial exchange. Actually, as is stated in Shastra, one cannot repay the debt to the Guru for the transcendental knowledge he gives. Transcendental knowledge, he gives knowledge of the unlimited. So how can one repay that? One can only repay that by giving it to others. So one should approach with firewood suitable for sacrifice, that should be there. And one should approach a guru who is Shrotriyam. That means not someone who one day set up a shop and said, with a sign outside saying, Guru inside, available for consultation, $20 each 10 minutes. That's not a guru. A guru means who himself has heard in disciplic succession. In other words, he's not making it up as he goes along. Some of the famous gurus in India, if you can tolerate to listen to their blabber for more than a few minutes, you can see they're just making it up as they go along. And it's considered very spiritual. They have no fixed teaching. I'm especially thinking of this Sri Sri fellow. Just words come out of his mouth. There's no fixed system of understanding. Just whatever happens to come to his mind, and it comes out and people think it's very spiritual because they have no idea of what actual spiritual means. But Shrotriyam means he should have heard and understood, internalized. Shravan mana nididhyasanam. Hearing, considering, and internalizing. Chitete kuriya aika, making one with the heart. Brahmanishtam, fixed in knowledge of and service to the Absolute Truth. One should approach such a guru for tad vijnanartham, for the sake of getting knowledge. We have all kinds of gurus, so-called gurus, in India today. There's the hugging guru. Where is this stated in Shastra? It's simply you hug someone. Duty of the guru is to teach, to give spiritual knowledge, and the duty of the disciple is to hear submissively. One should hear, and then as a result, acharyavan purusho veda, one should oneself become enriched with knowledge. One goes to the guru for the sake of acquiring knowledge, and one who actually has approached a guru, he has knowledge. That's why in Vedic culture, in the Gurukuls, there's no certificate. You first class, second class, no such thing. You're not given a certificate. The thread on the shoulder, that is the certificate. He's studied. He's approached a proper guru and has studied, and now he should know. Samavartana, after hearing and study, he goes home. He goes home, that means he's studied. He's acquired the Vedic knowledge. Now, of course, knowledge acquisition goes on throughout life, but he's got a basic, solid foundation of understanding. So one should understand. These books are there, Srila Prabhupada's books. We should, again and again, we have to say to read these books. Try to understand the knowledge that is there. So why should one undertake such an endeavor? That question was asked also by the sages at Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami, that Shukdev, he was already self-realized. Then why did he take the trouble to study Srimad Bhagavatam, such a massive work? If you're already self-realized, then what do you need? Why should you do anything else, especially study such a massive work as Srimad Bhagavatam? What's the answer? Anyone know? Famous verse. Anyone? Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nigranta Apyavrukume Kurvantya Haituking Bhaktin. What's the last line? Itam Bhuta Gono Hare Hai. Krishna has such qualities that even someone who is already satisfied in the self on the Brahma Bhuta platform, who is Nirgranta, who doesn't need to read any more books, becomes attracted to hearing the qualities of Krishna, because they are attractive even to the transcendentalists. So one may be Nirgranta, means various meanings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One thing, he's beyond books, ordinary books. Another, he's not tied up in this material world. He's free from the Hridaya Granthi. Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavametam Tayaraho Hridaya Granthi Mahu. The attraction between male and female is the knot on the heart which ties us in this material world. One who is free from that, he's Brahma Bhuta. But even such a person is attracted to hearing about Krishna's relationship with females. When we're beyond the attraction between male and female, then we can actually appreciate the attraction between the real male and the real females, between Krishna and his lovers. So this is all on a very high level. We're meant to come up to that high level. Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Varan, Nibodhata. We are supposed to, Vedas enjoin us, get up, wake up, just be awake. We got this human form of life. We shouldn't live like cats and dogs. Whatever's there in the Upanishads, all these important statements in the Upanishads, they're also given in Srimad Bhagavatam, in somewhat different form. In Bhagavad, Utishta, Jagrata, Prapya, Varang, Nibodhata. That means get up, wake up, become aware of the opportunity, the boon that is available in human life. So that is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in several verses. One of them that Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Nayang Deho Deha Bhajang Riloke Kashtan Kaman Arhade Virbhujamye Tapo Devyam Putraka. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyed yasmad brahma sokyam tvadanta. Expanding on the theme, Rishabhdev told his sons that one who has attained the human form of life should not misuse it for engaging in sense gratification, which is available in every species of life, even in the most condemned form of those animals that eat stool, feces, or whatever you want to call it. But rather one should perform divine austerities by which one's whole existence can become purified and one can experience eternal, unlimited spiritual bliss. So get up. Why should we go to a guru? Why should we accept so many restrictions, rules and regulations? Because there's a great opportunity in the human life to do so. Same time, kshurasya dhara kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgang patas tatkavayo vadanti. At the same time we're warned, go carefully into spiritual life. It's like a razor's edge. It can shave us clean. We can be cleaned from all the impurities. But if we're not careful, we can cut ourselves also. It's a difficult path, no doubt. All the learned persons say, nevertheless, we should take to this path. And just like shaving, we have to do regularly. Otherwise, the impurities, the hairs come again. So we have to keep on applying ourselves. Not that, okay, well now I chant, now it's been 10 years since I've been chanting Hare Krishna, I think I should be pure enough by now, so now it's time to stop. No such thing. Maya is just like the hair is always growing. We don't see it. It becomes apparent if we stop shaving for some days. It may not even be apparent. So we have to go on daily with a sadhana, become purified. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hiyartha prakashante mahatmana. We are enjoined to approach the guru for spiritual knowledge. We can get that knowledge, but how will we get understanding of it? How will we understand what is the actual knowledge, the best knowledge, the highest knowledge? In the Vedas, there is a description of Virochana and Indra, two implacable enemies, the king of the demons and the king of the demigods. They both approached Prajapati, who in this instance is generally understood to be Brahma, for the purpose of acquiring Atma-gyan, knowledge of the self. So first of all, Brahma said, he explained that Atma, the self, is the body. So we should satisfy the body. We should do everything for the sake of the body. And Virochana, being the king of demons, was very satisfied. And he went away and said, yes, I got Atma-gyan. Now I know. Actually, I already knew it, but now I heard it from a guru, and now I know it's fully authorized. I should act for the sake of the body. Indra, Brahma told him, actually, there's more to it than this. But first you go and do some austerities, then come back and I'll teach you some more. So there's a lot more to be understood. Simply book knowledge. We may be satisfied with, yes, I read the book, I got the Bhakti Shastri degree, I'm doing pretty good. But realization will come when we have full faith in Guru and in Bhagavan, full bhakti, full dedication, full devotion, then all the import of that will be revealed to us. Otherwise, two people may hear the same thing and understand quite differently. So many people study Bhagavad Gita. Actually, not nearly enough people. But of those who do, some find Krishna and some don't. Who will find Krishna? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is revealing knowledge of himself. But who will understand that? Those who approach a bona fide guru and in full faith surrender unto him and to Krishna, and to them all the imports of Vedic knowledge will be revealed. And one submits oneself to the guru to hear, to be corrected, to be trained. Practically one has to become like a child. Even if one is very highly placed in human society, has 3 PhDs, so much knowledge, But when one comes to a guru, one has to admit that I don't know. I don't know what really is required to be known. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of Sanatana Goswami, who was so learned, and not only learned but astute. He was not some absent-minded professor. He was so practical in his knowledge that he was the prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah, opulent emperor of Bengal. He was very learned. He knew languages, he knew Sanskrit, Bengali, probably knew Kannada or some, what we would now call Kannada or some dialect of that, because his forefathers were from what is now called Karnataka. Then Farsi he must have known also, the court language, or some Persian language. So he was very learned, but he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Ke ami kene ame jare tapatrai, eha nahi jani. I don't know. Who am I? And why I'm being tortured by the three modes of material, or the three modes of material nature, or the three kinds of material miseries. Eha nahi jani kemane hito hoy. I don't know what is my actual benefit. Gama bebahare lo kahi pandit. The people, ordinary people, they think I'm a very learned person, but actually I don't know what is my real position. So that we have to admit. We don't know who we are, why we're in this world, why we're suffering in this world. Many people, they don't even know that they're suffering, or they just think that suffering is normal. We're not meant for suffering. We're meant for bliss. Amritasya Putra. We are sons of blissful, nectarian Krishna. We're meant to be happy. But in this material world, we're simply suffering. However much we may be PhD, billionaire, famous, infamous, whatever it may be. In this material world, as long as we don't know Krishna, we're suffering. So we should approach the guru with this humble mood that I need to be corrected. I've got so many things in my mind, it's all one big tangle. How to untangle, straighten out all the misconceptions. We should be prepared to admit that whatever we think we know is right may not be. Srila Prabhupada said many things which may be shocking to the moralistic people of this world. For instance, that welfare work, mundane welfare work, is not actually very good. People would be shocked to hear that if we put it into a specific context. If we say, well, actually Mother Teresa never really helped anyone in any significant way, people would be shocked. They'll think it's a great blasphemy. Clearly the most saintly person of the modern age. No. No. Because she was concentrating on relieving bodily misery, which is certainly a lot better than giving bodily misery or neglecting others' bodily misery. But it cannot, helping to relieve people's bodily suffering cannot help them in the ultimate sense. Because as long as we're in this material world, we get body after body after body, and we suffer again and again. So real help is to give people the knowledge by which they can become free from bodily suffering eternally. So all these truths will be revealed in the heart of someone who has full faith in Guru and Krishna. That means we have to be ready to hear that or those truths, that kind of knowledge, which we may not like to hear, which we may find even offensive. If we say, same example, if we say that actually Mother Teresa, not a saintly, not a saint of the highest order. And people say, well, who can be more saintly than her? She gave her whole life to help others. But because she did not approach a guru to find out what is the real way to help others, all her noble efforts didn't help anyone to become free from birth and death. And all the people that she took off the street while they were dying and put them in her home so that after a lifetime of living on the street they could have the luxury of dying in her home. When they died, they had to get born again. Maybe to be born on the streets of Calcutta again. So we have to be prepared to hear these things. Don't bring our misconceptions and try to understand the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra through the misconceptions, but rather present ourselves as one in ignorance whose misconceptions require to be corrected. This is how we should approach. Just like Arjuna, he thought, yes, I know what is right. I shouldn't fight. It's obvious. It's obvious in such a situation I shouldn't fight. It's the obvious thing to do. I don't know what's wrong with this Krishna and Yudhishthira. I mean, I can understand Duryodhana is wrong, but why do Krishna and Yudhishthira want to fight when it's obvious we shouldn't fight? Arjuna had an amazing realization. And he was convinced. He was so convinced that he wanted to convince Krishna. But then he thought, well, maybe I should listen to Krishna. That was a good decision on Arjuna's part. But still he had so many misconceptions that he was carrying, but he was prepared to listen to Krishna. And Krishna explained why what Arjuna said was not completely correct. Actually, Arjuna's arguments for not fighting, that the family traditions will be spoiled, Krishna didn't even touch those arguments at all. He didn't say that women should not be protected, but he took the argument to a different level altogether. So we're not saying that having homes for people who are suffering is bad. It's intrinsically bad. Although actually in Varnashram system, there's no need for such homes because suffering people are treated in their own home. Not that you have to have a special home for them. Varnashram, everyone is looked after. The elderly are not thrown out on the street, but they're looked after. So, yeah, we should be prepared to hear and have our misconceptions sorted out. Misconceptions, attachments, there may be very strong attachments, apart from attachments to home. Recently I got a letter, someone said they want to be initiated by me, but they have a dog, and they're attached to the dog. So can they still be initiated? They had the dog for 13 years. So I replied that, well, it might be very difficult to give up the attachment to the dog. So anyway, 13 years is quite old for a dog. So you can wait for the dog to die and then be initiated. Or you might consider that you might die before the dog. And therefore, giving up attachment to the dog, become attached to Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada said, you can't love God and love dog. And so you have to make the choice yourself. Do we want to love dog or love God? So people have so many attachments. mental attachments to misconceptions, so many fears, vitaraga, bhaya, krodha. We have to go beyond attachment, fear, anger, frustration. Take training by hearing. The guru has to speak in a manner. What is that? Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. The duty of those who are gurus, sadhus, is to speak in such a way that the mental attachments and misconceptions of others will be cut to pieces. That is their duty. So the training goes on by speaking, giving proper understanding. What is Siddhanta? It's not just a matter of teaching shlokas. The Gurukul boys are learning shlokas. Even more important, they have to understand what is Siddhanta, what is the proper meaning of engaging in service. Learning in Krishna consciousness is not simply an academic method. One has to perform service. It may not be all at once, little by little. Shanai shanai ru paramed. Dhritya buddhi grihita. Buddhya dhritya grihita. Sorry. One has to go step by step with intelligence and determination. So this kind of training should be given. We have to be prepared to take that. Often devotees are not very prepared to take the training, because in the modern age, the general understanding of a guru is someone with a long beard who smiles. There's no training given. There's no... even in the schools, it used to be that the teachers, they not only trained, or not only taught various subjects, but they would train the children, discipline them. Because without discipline, you can't teach them properly. But in the modern age, the teachers are not allowed to discipline the students, and therefore the students, they may learn something, but there's no character training. Actually, in the Gurukuls, that would be boys from Brahmin families, and in the families, the Garbhadhan Sanskar would go on, and the boys would be of good quality, so much discipline is not required. Whereas mostly if you go to schools for young children, especially nowadays, and even I remember some more than 40 years ago, even the schools of, even the pupils of teenage years, the teachers mostly were not able to control the class, and the children would take pleasure in seeing how far they could push the teacher, until and so you see sometimes the teachers would literally have a nervous breakdown. So this is such pupils, they're not fit for school. They should be at least somewhat ready to take discipline. So someone should be a disciple if they're ready to take discipline, they're ready to follow the order. Then there's a possibility of instruction. Otherwise, one cannot instruct a so-called disciple unless they're prepared to follow the discipline. If they don't follow the discipline, they're not a disciple. They can't really learn anything, even if they do by themselves, they learn so many shlokas and this and that. They certainly don't get Krishna's mercy. Ashraya Luija Sang, Ashraya Loya Bhaje. Tare Krishna Nahi Tate. One who takes shelter in the parampara system, Krishna doesn't let them go. Krishna looks after them. So unless there's training, discipline, sincere desire to learn and to advance, then you don't advance. Without application, no one can advance. We may be happy in our own little neophyte ignorance, imagining that I'm a great devotee, but that is not actual devotion. Imagining that we're advanced and actually becoming attached to Krishna, becoming detached from everything in this world, that is something quite different. Bhakti pareshanu bhava viraktir anyatra. Devotion means attachment to Krishna and detachment from everything else. So we shouldn't be proud. I'm very intelligent. I know so much. Often we find those who are the most intelligent, they're the most crazy. I don't mean in the sense of being what we would call clinically mentally unsound, but the mind is so crazy, so much mental somersaults. The simple fact that we have to surrender to Krishna, that doesn't come about. Simple faith is a valuable quality. It should not be blind faith. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Svapam Punyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. In a person who has only little piety, the kind of faith, straightforward faith in Krishna's prasadam, in Govinda, in the Vaishnavas, in the holy name, it doesn't take place. One who is impious, who is bereft of devotional credits, they cannot become a disciple. Or if they become a disciple, they don't apply themselves very well due to thinking themselves to be already very learned, very advanced. One reason for this is Varna Sankara. We are born from parents who themselves have no spiritual training, spiritual application, and with each generation it gets worse and worse and worse. This was Arjuna's fear, that if all of those persons who are supposed to protect the society, if they become killed in this battle, then the women will be unprotected, the women will be exploited, unwanted progeny, bad children, children with disturbed consciousness, they will be born. So this is the history of the modern world. Every generation is Varna Sankara, and each generation it becomes more accentuated. Therefore, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasceva 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 Gatiranyata. In this Kali Yuga, where everything is bad and getting worse by the moment, the ordinary Vedic processes cannot work. Maybe for a few. We see there are still some pure brahmanas in holy places like this Kanchipuram. Last night some brahmanas came of their own volition. Born brahmanas, born in Sri Vaishnav families, worshipping the Lord, they themselves of their own volition came very happy to come and offer respect to me, who certainly by birth am so far away from them, there's no measuring. But they recognized that by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, even a person of such a bad background as mine can become honorable if they chant the holy names of Krishna. So sometimes people say, well, the Sri Vaishnavas, they don't believe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They believe, otherwise why would they offer respect to the followers of Srila Prabhupada who are born in the worst families? That is a sign that they accept. Maybe not fully in the way that we do, but they have genuine respect. So there may be some few brahmanas still like that, but for the rest of us, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranja. We have to chant the holy name. And actually, it's true for those brahmanas also. We can be purified by chanting the holy names. Still, we require training. Still, we require guidance. Still, we require to approach a guru. I'll finish now as I'm over time. Hare Krishna, there's much to say. There's unlimited things to say. Even though I'm saying the more or less the same things again and again and again, we have to hear again and again and again, especially in Kali Yuga. That's why it said, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Three times it said. Three times, because first time, second time, maybe. Third time, okay. Again and again we have to hear. So several of you yesterday expressed your sincere prayers that I may have a long life. So may Krishna fulfill that, that may I, as long as he desires, go on speaking these things. I'm fortunate to have very sincere disciples yourselves, as yourselves, who are patient enough to go on hearing these things. But anyway, yes, it's time for Mahaprasad of Govinda, and you all please go and take that, except those of you who are going to take initiation, you should fast, and also those who are going to accept initiation into Gayatri Mantra, males, you please come and see me now. Those who are being initiated, males, they should all have shaved heads with shika. Now it's become quite popular that we have devotees with shaved heads and no shika. That means you're either a... Well, in India, some with a shaved head and no shika, that means either they're a widow, which for men that doesn't count anyway, or a Mayavadi sannyasi, or a Madhva sannyasi, or a Buddhist. It could mean a Jain also. They pull out their hairs. But shika is preferred. Why is shika? So if you run away, Krishna will grab you. There has to be some hair. Yes, stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not joking. What is that verse? Donna Shay Prabhu. Anyway, it's Chule Dharyani. That glorious is that master who, if the servant goes away, catches him by the hair and pulls him back. So you have to have some hair. So keep a shika, please. Those of you who already shaved it off, well, you can think about growing one also. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hari 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 Bol. Hare Krishna.